Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I just thank you for tuning in to another night. I'm excited. God has been shifting and moving, and I've just been embracing. You know, I don't start the show off without prayer, so let's just go straight into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. I humble myself before your throne right now, and I surrender Fuchina, the man, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, to not just come in, but come in and saturate and dominate right now. Not just me, but the people who are going to be listening to the show, and especially my speaker. I just thank you for allowing him to be a vessel for so many people. I thank you for allowing us just to give you the glory and the praise for another day. You are so worthy and you're so gentle, and that's what I love most about you, because throughout all of my mess, you still saw me through. Throughout all of the mistakes I've made and me going on my own with you and not listening to you, how you just brought us all right back to you, and it just come full circle to you. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you for peace. I thank you for understanding, and I thank you for who this message is designed to reach tonight, Lord, that it will be a blessing and that yokes will be broken from this night. I thank you for those who are catching it live and for those who will be catching it on the replay. And I ask you to send your angels to go out and make the crooked path straight. You said the weapons will form, but they will not prosper. And Lord, as we just stand in your faith, we're holding on to your hand. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So thank you so much for tuning in. And for those who are still getting used to the fact that I am no longer doing the show on my personal page anymore, it was time to make that change. And I'm doing it, and I'm doing it in faith. And he's never left me or forsake me. I've always tried to be obedient, and that's what we're going to do with here. So those who are, you know, logging in on the Chronicles page, I thank you. Spread the word. I ask that you do spread the word, because since I've done it, I've seen the increase in the site. So I'm just going to continue to allow him to do what he does, and I'm just grateful for those who have just been obedient and listening to him, where he's told me to reach out, and those who just embraced it and just came on board. And tonight our guest is no different. Him along with his fiance, I am just blessed to be among. I love being around people who are working towards the same goal, and that is one, serving God, and then serving people, serving others. So it's I humble myself every time I think about where God has brought me from and where I am now and where he's about to take me. I thank him for allowing me to be with people, like-minded people, because it's all about, you know, uplifting one another, coming together, especially as females, you know, us lifting up one another instead of tearing each other down, you know, collectively coming together for one common goal, and that is to serve God and to serve others. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. As you all know, I've been talking about it all month. This is going to be the last show for it because it's also Lupus Awareness Month, and that's what we'll be talking about next week. But we're still on Mental Health Awareness Month, and what way to end this segment for Mental Health Awareness Month by no other than my brother in Christ, Pastor Frank Henderson. And when I tell you, this man is a powerful force to be reckoned with. He is a powerful force to be reckoned with. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about the accolades and stuff. I'll let him do all that. And we're going to let the Holy Ghost continue to do what he does. But I want to present to some and introduce to some and present to others Pastor Frank Henderson. Thank you so much for coming on board and accepting the invitation. Thank you so much. How are you doing this evening?
What's up, Kirkendall? How you doing?
What's up? Dr. Yolanda, I just love y'all to pieces. Y'all really are just so special. Thank you both, you know, for just accepting, regardless of when I come out to, you know, reach out to you all, you just hands down, like, hey, what can we do to help? And, you know, some people say it. You know how some people talk it, but you all walk it. And I love that because that's how I am. I'm all about helping. So I love it. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. You know, I know you got a great audience, and I'm excited about you allowing me to kind of get into your network, and I would definitely return the favor.
Awesome. So we're going to go straight into it. You all, you know that this is Mental Health Awareness Month, and, you know, I can talk about my testimony all the time, but it ain't about me at all, not tonight. It's not about me. It's definitely about you. But you, when I've come to know your testimony, what I admire most about you, let me say that, is that you're transparent. You like, hey, you don't, nobody have to tell my story. I can tell my own story. That's what I always say about myself. Yeah. But that's how you are. And that's what I love about you. Like, yeah, I have done whatever, but look where I am now. And I love that. It's like started from the bottom down here. And I love that.
What?
Yeah. That's so, I love it. I love that about you. I want to give you three questions, and we're going to start off that way. And Pastor Yolanda, I see you. Well, First Lady Yolanda, I see you out there, girl. I see you. But I'm going to start off with three questions because we got a lot to cover here. Who are you? What do you do? And why do you love doing what you do?
Okay, I'm old, so you got to help me remember all those questions. But
well,
I'm just a simple guy from. I'm just a simple guy. I'm a simple guy from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. That's where I was born and raised. I've got a younger brother, three older sisters. I've got six kids. I've been married multiple times. But who I am really is boils down to one thing. I am just a voice. And that's it. I'll let everybody else have everything else. They can have every title they want. But I want to be a voice. And I want to be a voice that is not just saying what I want to say, but I want to relay the heart of God in the earth, and I want to talk to people, and I want to share God's word, and I want to share it in a way that is applesauce to them, that they can digest, that they can take home, and they can feed their families with it. See, that's simple for me. What I do is I empower people. That's it. You know, when I was 32 is when it all came together for me, and God just told me, empower my people. And I've been doing that ever since in some way, shape, or form. I'm always the guy that's trying to, when you leave me, I want you to feel 10 feet tall and feel like you can accomplish what God has put in your heart to do, and that you can do everything God has called you to do, and that the only hindrance you'll ever face is the one that you allow from within. Everything else is taken care of. We just got to overcome those hurdles. What was your last question?
Oh, and why you love doing what you do?
Yeah, I love doing what I do because it is the thing that God has put here to connect me to Him, keep my joy full. Jesus had this saying where it was like, my meat and my drink is to do the will of Him that sent me. And that's why I do what I do. I feel like it replenishes me, it refreshes me, it rejuvenates me, it brings restoration to my life. Every time I encounter Him and every time I encounter people and we have this encounter with God, it just does something to me. You know, I've been a believer since I was 15. I'm now 55. It's been 40 years since the summer of 82 that I gave my life to Christ. And I still feel just like I just met Him at that water fountain, giving my life to Him. It's been a wild ride. It's been some mountains, some valleys, and sometimes I even was in the cave inside of the mountain, and God was doing things in my life and in my heart and taking things from me and correcting me and withholding things from me and getting me where I needed to be a great, you know, signet or imprint of His will in the earth. So I know what it's like, and it's been a journey, but I do it because this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. and I'll never be able to take it away.
I know that's right.
It's the only thing that kept me. Yeah.
I know that's right. And, you know, with this being Mental Health Awareness Month, I thought that your story would be awesome because it had to affect, you mentioned the multiple marriages, you mentioned, you know, the different things that you got into. How did that affect you mentally, since we are talking about mental health awareness?
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is, you know how you can grow up poor, but you don't know you're poor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I didn't know that I was going to have some of the mental challenges that I had, because when you grow up at home and you're under the wings of a loving mother, of a hardworking mother, of structure and discipline, you don't know that you have certain things in you until you get out there in the world, and then those things come out via relationships. You don't know you have, you know, I didn't grow up with my father. My father left when I was a baby. And so I was raised that way. And so I've seen my father like 5 times in my life. And so I had these abandonment issues that I didn't know I had until I got relationships and people abandoned me. I didn't know I had until I got friends. And inside of those relationships, friends did the same thing. And I didn't know what that scratch or that itch was. And then as you grow older, you begin to see, you know, like, I got some things going on with me because I feel certain ways about certain things. And a lot of times you don't know it. And I tell people all the time, like, when you're by yourself, you always feel like you're on point. You always feel like you're stellar and that you get the job done. And that you're almost walking in a state of, look at me, nothing about me is smelly or stinking or rotten. But if you ever get into a relationship, everything about you will begin to show up, because a relationship is like a mirror. It begins to reflect back to you what's in you. And that's when you begin to see, like, just like I didn't know I was poor, I didn't know I had some health issues.
That's a mouthful, because you're right. When we have, me have being a single mother myself, I don't treat my son, you know, I just give him the love that I can give and give him what I know to give. Some good, some, you know, some areas of improvement. But at what point did you get in your life when you realize that they're, okay, this is not exactly what this is supposed to be? Does that question make sense to you?
Yeah, I remember I was young. I was married and I had 4 kids. I was about 24 years old. And I remember going through some things at church and going through some things at home. Some of those things were self-inflicted, and some of those things were just a result of being around people and trying to have a relationship with people, whether it's a wife or have a relationship with the staff at the church. And there were some things where I felt like I had been done wrong. I remember I walked out of my house. I had come home from work, and I walked out of my house, and I was walking down the street. East Crockett Street in Marshall Tech. I remember walking. It was a long street, and I was walking. And I think I was like, it was like the first time where I was really broke down and crying. Mm. And I said, if I had a gun, I'd end all this. That's when that was the first check engine light for me, right there, that I would get so despondent that I would want to end it all. And because of how I came to Christ, you know, I didn't have a daddy that was a pastor. I didn't have none of that. Nobody came to me and was like, hey, you know, XYZ, live for the Lord, you know, you got a heritage, a legacy. I didn't have none of that. I was a dude that was in the streets. And when he came and he saved me, it was strong. It was real. It was like this guy really had an encounter with God. If I hadn't had that, and I was just came up in church and came up, you know, like, hey, be a good little boy and all of that, I wouldn't have had no fight in me. I wouldn't have been able to handle what I went through. I finally got it together. It took me a couple months to get my strength, stand up for myself, to say what I needed to say. But that was the first inkling. And at that time, I didn't even think about it as, you know, your check engine light is on. I just thought about it as, you know, they really made me mad, made me upset. But really, it was that was the first time that light, that ding, that notification went off in the car, you need to check your engine. Because if you don't check your engine when it comes to your mental health, it's just like how diabetes would do. It'll slowly kill your nerves in your body.
Mm-hmm.
How heart disease, mm-hmm. it will slowly clog your arteries. You see what I'm saying? It's like what sleep is doing. When you're trying to drive, you'll slowly drift over where you shouldn't be. And it's the same thing with mental health. It'll slowly creep up and get you. And if you're not ready, you could get yourself into a situation where you're so bankrupt mentally and emotionally, it's going to take heaven. It's going to take everything in the world to pull you out of that ditch.
That's deep. That's really deep. And it's not just you. I mean, it's just so many people that go through. One, they don't know that they're going through until a reality check comes to face them. And then they have no choice but to deal with what we come to know as those demons in our lives. And I love how, you know, how Christ came into your life. And even with that, I want to sidebar with that for a second. You know, I tell people have this misconception about when you accept Christ or when Christ comes into your life that your problems are supposed to go away. No, it doesn't go away, because I know that when I gave my life to Christ and I still had my addiction to sex. And it didn't mean that I didn't love him or anything, but I was still dealing with my demons. And my demon was that sex addiction. And I noticed, based, you know, listening to what you're saying, yes, you gave your life to Christ, but you were still dealing with stuff.
Yeah, abandonment.
You were still dealing with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, I thought you were giving me a break, but go ahead, I'm listening.
Oh, no, go right on ahead. I want you to, because what you're saying, I get it. I'm just trying to throw fuel in the fire to make you go further with it.
Okay, let's turn up then. Let's go.
Let's turn up.
I think when you think about it, and, you know, you're like, most of us don't understand that. And I want to say this. I want to be careful how I say this, because most people fight me on this. Right, they give me a good battle, but I always tell them, you know, I'm undefeated when I talk about this. I say one of the things that we always try to do at church, this is what I learned as a pastor, that mostly everyone I've met that I pastored, that I've sat down and I've had thousands of conversations, thousands of phone calls, thousands of texts, thousands of prayers. Most people are running to church, and the main thing we do at church as leaders is help people get over home. And most people will say, "Well, I had this at home and I had that at home." I'm like, I get it, but there were things that happened to you at home that you got to get over, because it's important and it's touching and it's coloring the way you carry yourself out here in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And most people will gladly tell you that my dad was a 5-star this, or my mom was a, you know, summa cum laude here, but they won't tell you about the stuff that really went on in that house that impacts them and makes them think different. And so what God does, He is so gracious to us, is He puts us in relationships to try to bring up everything that we've ever been through, but give us another opportunity to go through it properly, to go through disagreement, to go through confusion, to go through having an attitude, being bitter, to go through not having enough talked about, or to go through feeling neglected or minimized, and then handle it right through a relationship, get the healing that you need, and then you could be that representative of the kingdom on earth in a more fuller way, in a fuller way.
That,
they fight me a bit. I say, you trying to get over home, but they don't believe it. Crooked dog. I'm telling you. They're like, my mama, my mama was just like Mary. She was like the mother of Jesus. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. That's what you want me to know, Mr. Mother. It's the other stuff you don't want me to know that's the problem.
Yes, yes. You know, I grew up, because I'm in my 50s, and so I grew up in that era when I was a little girl, because I grew up in South Carolina, and, you know, it's like one of those things where they don't like to talk about stuff, so they brush it under the rug, and I guess I'm the rebel of the coffee. I'm like, nah, I don't like to deal with secrets. Let's go ahead and deal with this now. But I noticed that, you know, even when I came into deciding that I'm no longer going to remain silent, I'm going to start talking my truth, you know, I got some backlash from that. But I decided that God said, you're going to do what they said or you're going to do what I say. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do what you say. and as a result of it, I've had to deal with some confrontations. I've had to deal with it, and I just have to tell them, this is my story. This is my truth.
Right.
And how you feel about my truth is not my concern. But, you know, if you're going to put me and lay me to the hands of God, then that's the best thing I'm going to suggest that you do for me, because I'm doing it too. And just know that that it's my truth. And I refuse to stay in darkness. You know, when you pull that stuff in, you know, we don't want to tell stuff because we're so, no, it's a freedom. That's why I said there's a power in your voice. Mm-hmm. There's power in your testimony. There's power. And your goal is, you don't have the right to keep, when God has delivered you, you don't have the right to keep that to yourself. Your job at that point now is to go back and help those who are going through, because that's what a test is for. A test creates testimonies that's used to help somebody else who's going through a test. So you are the finished product to show, if he got me through, he'll get you through.
That's right. That's beautiful.
He'll get you
because through. Yes, if you think about it, I grew up with, my mother was working all the time. My dad was not there. So I'm like, what you call that, latchkey kid, me and my brother. We got up in the morning. Our breakfast was on the stove. We ate our breakfast. We got ready for school. We locked the door, caught the bus. We beat our mother back home. And we came in the house. We did our homework. Well, we took the clothes off the line or whatever it is she had us to do. It was that type of life. So because my mother loved us enough to make sure we had everything we need, sometimes when you get what you want, you get what you don't want too. And so we got everything we wanted, in the sense of we got a place to live, it's warm, we got food. My mother works all the time though, so that makes you feel as if you don't get the warm fuzzies, because my mother was not a warm fuzzy person. She is now, but growing up she wasn't warm and fuzzy. And so it made it hard for me to receive people that are warm and fuzzy. So, I mean, this had nothing to do with the fact that my mother had ill intentions about it. It's just something I went through at home, that when I got out here in the world, like even in my relationship with Dr. Jerry, when we first met, he was trying to do nice things for me. And I would be like, what's up with that? Why are you doing that? And she was like, man, just let me love you. Because her thing was, that's how she loves. And so I was fighting her. You see what I'm saying? Because of where I came from, and I didn't get those kind of things. So it's like, those are the things that God will let you go through in a relationship to bring their healing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always bad.
Stuff that you not know. Hmm?
Right. So I was saying, it's not always the bad stuff you go in and go through at home.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's just the stuff you go through and you don't know you have a deficit there. And so you have to get into a good relationship, whether it's a love, romantic relationship, or it's a good friendship, or a coworker, or a pastor, or somebody you met at the grocery store, you become friends, you talk on the phone, you begin to understand that real relationships bring truth to our life. And through that process of truth, because it is an agitator, because truth is a disruptor, because truth is a person that requires 100% of us, the personhood of Christ, when we get into relationships and we're trying to be totally real with one another and real with other people, that's how God brings the healing to our life.
Mental health. When you're not used to something, just like when you said when you were receiving, you weren't used to receiving that. You know, you had that mother that was direct, and I guess my sons would probably say that about me, but my oldest son, there's 17 years between my two children, and my oldest son can now tell me, you know, Mom, you're a very strong person. I understand. I said, I love you, but I got to prepare you for this world that's coming out there. Yeah, I'm all here to nurture you and stuff like that, but I'm going to be a realist because you're going to deal with a realistic society. And that's just all to it. If you don't remember none of us, you're going to remember those lessons. Now, there's a time for everything. And there are certain things that I definitely needed room of improvement. So when I came to my second child, I learned something totally different. He's learning something totally different, but the kids are the fruits of you. And as I'm learning from him, I'm like, wow, okay, I need to fall back because what I did for this child, I can't do for that child. And vice versa, the case may be. But because I was so used to rejection, so I was so used to abandonment issues, I was known for, I'm loyal. I am a very loyal person. Okay, unless you cross that and then forget it. But I'm always used to giving. And when people were trying to give it to me, I didn't know how to receive it. That's why I hear from you. You don't know how to receive it because it's almost like a strange, like, hey, what are you doing? You know, because we're so used to not getting it or not getting a toxic. Usually getting the intoxicated stuff. So when you get something that's not toxic, it's strange and almost don't feel like it's natural. That makes sense? It's natural to feel toxic because that's all we know.
Mm-hmm. And so let me say this, Now, because of growth and maturity and being people, you learn about those things you need to learn about. And like in my case, even in my relationship with Dr. Jerry, that is something that mental health is the ability to recognize what's going on and to handle it. And her working with me on that, I'm straight now. She can bless me. She can do anything she wanted to do. I'm straight now.
I
had to go through it to get to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And then may I add to that, you had to be willing to do it. Like it has something that you had to make a choice to do it. Is it because you're going to fight, you're going to resist it, or you're going to embrace it?
Right. But you have to have someone that cares about you enough in your life to say, hey, you're living beneath your privilege. Hey, this isn't healthy thinking. This process that you're thinking, the way you're thinking about yourself or about your spouse or about your children is detrimental. It's not life-giving. Let's get over here into life-giving. Let's talk about those things that are life-giving. Let's get into that. Let's get into God's word. Let's get into prayer. Let's get into necessary counseling, therapy. Let's do all the things we need to do, all of the tools that we can avail ourselves to. That's what we need to do to make sure that that God is honored in our thinking. Because people don't really put much credence. They don't put a lot of importance on how they think. And what we got to do is recognize and show people the reason this is going on and the reason you're down in dumps and the reason you don't want to get out of the bed and the reason you don't want to be who you are is your thinking, it's your thought process. That's why the first thing Jesus says when he comes preaching, he says, repent. He says, change your mind. That's the first thing. Because the mental is so important when it comes to the kingdom, and the mental is so important when it comes to relationships, and the mental is so important in parenting. The mental is important in business. Always got to keep your mentals there. Because if you don't and you slip, you could slip in a way that hurts you in a terminal way. Yes. So we want to make sure we're always on top of our mental.
Right. Because it affects other parts. It affects the spiritual. It affects the emotional. It affects the physical.
Financial.
It affects everything. Especially financial. You know, it affects everything. And people really just don't understand how serious the mindset is, because you find, if you're not careful, I mean, I'm guilty of this myself. I've kept myself in my own prison, my own misconception prison, because I was so used to certain things, or I felt like I didn't deserve, or I wasn't worthy because of all the things I've done. And, you know, I don't know if you ever felt like that, but I know I have, and I'm not sure if those who are listening, you know, have you ever felt like that? That you, we end up sometimes, you know, we'll ask God to forgive us, and God will forgive us, but we will still hold ourselves in bondage. When God, when you ask the Creator to forgive you, but we feel like we need to, for me, I felt like I need to still punish, like I wasn't worthy, and I kept punishing myself. I don't know if you've experienced that, or listening experienced that.
I definitely have. I definitely have felt that way. You know, being called as a young boy to preach, you know, being 15, coming to Christ, preaching at 19, you get a lot of judgment. You get a lot of words that are put on you about what you should be doing, how you should be carrying yourself, how you should be acting. I remember when I went to Bible school, they would always ask, why does it take so long to shake your hand? Because I was dapping people up. I was giving them all the soul shakes in the world. And it was like, why did it take so long to shake your hand? But it was like, they got to remember, I was like less than a year out of the project. I was less than a year. So what I try to tell people all the time, like, there are things you're going to go through. There are things that you have done. There are things that are part of your life and your history. And what you got to understand is that God is going to use all of that to get the glory out of your life.
Yeah.
He's going to use all of that to get the glory. Like, for me, having been in failed marriages, to be where I am in a relationship with Dr. J and the couples that we help and the couples that we bless and the love that we share and that we fully express out loud, living out loud, trying to show people that God, Genesis 1, He blessed them, gave them dominion, told them to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, take dominion. He didn't just tell Adam, He told them. And so when I look at that, just trying to say, I want to share with her all that I am. She wants to share with me all that she is and to be bold and loud about it. That was tough because I was like, I've been through so much in relationships. And here it is, I feel like God is using me in the same thing that caused me so much misery. Here it is, He's using it to help us with ministry. It's crazy. And then you look at Ephesians 5 and you're like, husbands, love your wives, wives do this. It all talks about all of this stuff. Then it says, but I ain't really talking about relationships. I talk about Christ and the church. Because He's like, man, everything I want to do for you, I lay it out for you so simple. I show you how to love me by loving others. I show you how my kingdom works by how your household works. When you can really see that and understand order, authority, respect, honor, discipline, stability, integrity, all of those things at home, understanding the kingdom is a piece of cake. You see what I'm saying?
I'm picking up what you're saying now. I promise you
picking
that.
It up, all right.
I'm picking up what you're saying now. I got you. It was a comment that was made that, you know, our mental space and our mental health not only affects us, but affects other people that we're around. And that's very true. It's not just about us, but I love the fact that, you know, God blessed you. You know, you went from failed marriages. Now you get ready to go into a solid, foundational, godly marriage. Let me just say that, because first you did the courtship, yeah, and then you did the relationship, and now you're doing the engagement, and now you headed to the altar. And it can't get no better than that, but it was through that process.
Right.
You both had your own process that you were going through individually, and then collectively you came together. You put it out there on the table. This is what I'm dealing with.
Right.
This is what you're dealing with. Now let's deal with it together. Okay,
right,
and move forward, because I could just say, you know, from what I've seen and what I mean, y'all don't just, you know, you Pastor Frank, you're not one to just talk the talk, you walk the walk, and so does your fiance. You know, you know,
yeah,
she's the same way. I love it, because I personally love to hear you too, because you're genuine. You know, y'all not beating the fluff. What y'all say, what you see is what you get. And that's what I appreciate.
Right.
And I think people in general love to see that. That's what I love most about how collectively we are all, you know, all trying to edify God, but at the same time bringing people up. You know, look, I went through, let me help you out. Let me go back and pay it forward. Let me do this. You know, hey, listen, I tell people in a minute, I'm not, when they say, Miss Kirby, no, I just can't believe you. You used to be like that. And I'm like, listen, honey, let me tell you about this thing about grace. Grace will bring you, when grace is on you, you don't look like what God has delivered you from. So I'm trying to tell you, if he done it for me, I know he will do it for you. And as I listen to you, and then, you know, I follow you all a lot, you know, I just see how being up, being real, being transparent, it's like, hey, I done been there. I want you to think I've always been Pastor Frank, or I've always been for Tina Kirkendall, the motivational speaker, or whatever the case may be. No, I didn't came through. I didn't come through. I don't need you to tell my story. I can tell my own story. I don't need you to tell me about how I used to. Yeah, I used to do so and so, and I was good at it too. But look at God.
Well,
look at God.
Won't he do it?
Exactly.
Hey, can I say something? Because I know we can't be here all night, but I do want to say something to people, and I think it's very important. And
awesome.
Here it is. I want to liken it to the story that Apostle Paul told about he had a thorn in his flesh. Theologians will say, you know, Paul had, they say his thorn was the fact that everywhere he went to preach, people would show up, the Judaizers, to try to disrupt what he was doing. That could be. Others say he had an eyesight issue and that he was going blind. That could be the issue. But to me, one of the things, the beautiful thing that he says is that I prayed about it. I sought God 3 times. And I asked him to remove it. And then God came and said, what you just said, my grace is sufficient. And one of the things we got to understand about grace is that grace is amazing, yes, but grace is enabling. Grace gives us the ability to do what we do and make it look so easy. So I'm going to say to people, you may wrestle with something in your mind, in relationships, or in your calling all of your life. Because Paul said the reason I got this, he said, is because I was so competent and God had given me so much revelation that he designed in me a thorn that would keep me humble. And a lot of people, you got so much going on that's so good. It's like God is like saying, I can't make everything about you good. But what I can do is I can put a little piece in there to remind you that it's always me that humble yourself to. And I'm gonna brace you. I'm gonna put some oil on you. I'm gonna make it easy. People won't see your struggle at home and your struggle in your relationship and your struggle in your life. You say they'll look at you and think, well, that's real easy to do. Because people look at me and they say, man, you love your girl. It looks so. It's not always easy to be what I'm supposed to be to her. I had to make a decision every day through this enabling grace to be that. And I have to model that for people that are looking. I have to model that for her. I have to show her. She has to see Jesus in me. And it's just like, it's not easy for her to always be on point about me. We have discussions. We have disagreements. We have things that sometimes we have some intense fellowship about. But it's one thing that's solid. We know God put us together, and we always, always give space for grace to one another. And I wanted to say that to people because some people think, well, if I go to church and if I turn around 3 times, if I holler real loud, I'm not going to have to deal with nothing mentally again. But you're always going to have to deal with something. You're always going to have something you wrestle with. Paul said he didn't wrestle against flesh and blood, but he didn't say we weren't wrestling. See what I'm saying? We're going to wrestle something. We're going to have a time where it's like, I got this thorn. I got this situation. I got something that I'm dealing with that I'm not all the way there. Even though I'm delivered according to the Bible, I'm delivered according to God's word, I'm delivered, but my experience is not all the way there yet. That's why I know that in the end, by enduring to the end, I shall be saved. I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. But it's like that doesn't mean I don't wrestle. That's why Peter could be praying on a rooftop in Joppa, and God had to deal with him about his racism. Because he's always perfecting in us and working in us and showing us more. I have learned more about love. I have learned more about relationships. I have learned more about selflessness through my relationship with Dr. J than any other thing I've ever been through. But none of that came easy to me. All of that came through God. You feel me? And that's what mental health is.
Yeah.
Mental health is not saying I'm free of all of this. Mental health is I got my mind made up. I'm looking in the right direction. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to be about the business that I'm supposed to be about. I'm going to dig this trench. I'm going to get to where I'm going. I'm not in a hurry to get there. I see my destination. I'm moving towards my destination, and step by step, I'm going to walk out my faith.
And if you can't walk, crawl. Listen, I don't mind. You're going to have me jumping and running. That's all I'm going to say on that. While I got this break, let me just give I want to acknowledge my sponsor. This episode is being sponsored by Paradise Mortuary and Cremation Services, where their motto is they provide dignified, respectful, and compassionate service that you could depend on. The owner and CEO is Henry J. Middleton, and they are located at 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia, 30060. And you can reach them at 678-567-7512. And I leave you, their goal is, their ultimate goal is serving loved ones' legacy through a service of class and sophistication. And that begins with the start of each call. So I want to thank you, Paradise Mortuary, because they believe in what we're doing. So I appreciate being able to acknowledge them as a sponsor. And moving forward, you know, we are ending the, as you all know, you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favored Woman. My name is Pachina Kirkendall, and I have the privilege and the pleasure of having Pastor Frank Henderson on tonight. He is ending our mental health series with a bang. He is a phenomenal, awesome man of God, brother in Christ. I can go on and on, but his word is his bond, and that's what I appreciate about him. I love it. I absolutely love it. And as we're going, moving forward, he was just telling us, you know, on mental health, how life challenges has some tests in his life. And as a result of the test, how it's brought along the testimony. So where we are now that you've gone through the failed marriages, you've been through the single mom syndrome, you've been through, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. You've been through, you know, getting into Christ but not fully in there. Now, you know, you had the failed marriages, but God has brought you, he just turned you around. Everything has turned around. And everything that you went through, even though you didn't know why you was going through it, has led you to this point now where you're sharing the gospel full on fire for for the gospel. And what I love it, because you got to say it, say your boy. And, you know, you're so relatable. And that's what people love, because that's what I love about Jesus, that he wasn't on there with that thou art whatever, ever. He just went down in a language that you could understand. And that's what you do. You come with the language that people can understand. And that's what I love about it, because, hey, I done been there too. You know, let me talk to you. Let me talk to you for a second. You know, let me talk to you in a language that I know that you can understand. So with that being said, what would be some nuggets of wisdom that you could provide for someone who may be going through?
This is what I like to say for a person that's going through. I want you to remember one thing, no matter what is happening, no matter how you feel about it, no matter how you would like to run from it and not be involved in it, everybody has a way that God gives to them. And we hate to say it, but it's true. We hate to say it, and we hate to apply it to our life at difficult times, but we got to understand that all of our steps are ordered. All of our steps are ordered. God is saying the only way I'm going to get to Jonah is I've got to put him in the belly of a whale. The only way I'm going to get Moses' attention is I got to show him a bush that is on fire that is not being consumed. So we all have situations. Like, some people go through the toughest of things, but all it is that we can stem that tide by just saying, God, you have my attention. You got my attention. You know, people, it's in the book of Acts that you read about King David, where they're preaching and they say David was a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody's like, you know, I want to be, you know, David this, and Christ is known as the son of David and all of those things. But, you know, some of the things you got to remember is David also had to flee for his life from a king. He had to hide in caves. He had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He had to see his father-in-law give his wife away. Come on. He saw all of that. He had people and men that had came to him in the cave of Adullam, and they were discontent. They were in distress. They were bitter in soul. They were in debt. And they were telling him, kill Saul, man. He's laying right here. Kill him. All this running we're doing, kill this man. David had two opportunities, and he did not do it.
That's yes, God's he sure heart. Did.
That those are the things. Mm-hmm. What you're going through right now is what is creating and making your heart what it needs to be towards God and towards his people. And those steps are ordered. And whatever it is, your personal thing that you have to go through, until you recognize and say, this is God ordained to teach me something. And I have to learn the lesson. I have to pick up what heaven is putting down. I got to catch this. God is pitching me something. I got to catch this, and I have to learn this lesson, and I got to be about what I need to be about. But until we learn the lesson, God is not like these teachers out here in the world that's going to pass you anyway. He'll let you graduate anyway. He ain't going to do that. You're going to learn that lesson. Joseph had to go in that pit in order to go to Egypt and do right. He had to be falsely accused by Potiphar's wife in order to get in there and have the right mindset of what he needed to do. He was so blessed, so favored. He was having dreams and visions of his grandeur and greatness. And God said, in order for me to get in where I need to get him. Look, even take it to the gospel. Christ had to go down in the grave for 3 days and 3 months. He had to do what he had to do. It was all God's plan. That's why Isaiah can say, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Some of the things we go through, we believe that we hear these pop preachers today that's telling y'all everything y'all want to hear because people got itching ears. But the truth, the full counsel of God, if you read that Bible about anybody that carried the word, anybody that preached, it was not all cake and ice cream. And it's not going to be all cake and ice cream for us. And when we're going through a tough time, God is trying to get us where we need to be. And we got to remember, what I am going through is God ordained. It's God ordained. Now I got to learn. If this man is fighting me, it's God ordained, and I got to learn to get up and stand up for myself and get out of that. I got to get out of that. You see what I'm saying? If my if what I'm going through, if I don't have enough income, I have to find a way. I got to get out of there and find a way to make more income. If my kid is doing what I don't want my kid to do, I got to find a way to reach my kid and be there for my kid and do what I need to do. But God gives us all of these things. He gives us a cave. He gives us a pit. He gives us a well. You feel me? He gives us all of these things to shape us. He's trying to do something in us. And if you never go through being sexually addicted, you don't know what it is to talk to people that are.
That's right. That's right.
You don't know.
And let me interject with this, if you don't mind. You were saying something about how God does, but God will put you through the same test until you pass. And eventually, like myself, I'm like, you know what? I ain't trying to go through this no more. Let me just submit and do what you need me to do so I can get to that next level, because I just can't do this no more. I mean, the same thing. I find myself, I'm doing the same thing. He's like, you're going to do it until you pass. And you going, that light bulb going to come off eventually. So, you know, I just wanted to say that, because I do know that when we go through stuff, we're like, gosh, we're doing this again and we're doing it again. So obviously there's a common denominator, and it's you. And you need to do that self-check. What is it that I'm doing that I keep coming around in this circle over and over again? And I'm like, God, show me. Just show me. And I had to clear my mind of all the distractions so I can clearly see what it is I need to check in me so I can move to the next level.
Preach. Peter tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. And, you know, people don't think their mind has loins, but their mind has the ability to reproduce exactly what they're thinking. If you keep thinking how dark it is, it's going to be dark. You got to walk outside and say, you know what, it's dark. God didn't let me walk out here in the dark. Let me find a way to light it up. That's mental health. Mental health is what I've been given. It's the hand I've been given. Let me go out here and play these spades go ahead, preach.
I was getting ready to say that too, because I love faith.
Let me go ahead and set somebody.
Exactly. Let's go ahead and ride that Boston real quick.
run the Boston. Run that Boston. There you go. You got to figure it out.
Exactly.
Well, mental health, I hate how people say things like, you know, it's going to be an easy thing. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. Ain't nothing easy about being healthy. Don't nobody want to really go to the gym and work out. Don't nobody want to do that.
That's right.
They want to eat that steak, bro.
Exactly. Woo.
Nothing in me wants to work out. Nothing.
Talk about nuggets of wisdom. For those who tuned in, I have Pastor Frank Henderson on the line talking about how letting go and letting God in his life has brought him through tests, which is that's created and just gives all these testimonies that he's given. And I mean, we can talk about it all day. I love it. But before we leave, I would like to know, what do you have going on that you want the world to know?
Well, I'm real focused right now. You know, we're building this team for Epic Fellowship Church, and we've been coming online for over the last year, Sunday nights at 7:30, preaching to people. Last month, I think we had close to 180,000 impressions of people that had heard about Epic and heard something from Epic. Crazy reach. And, you know, we didn't even know it until our administrator told us. So we've always been about creating content. And now, on Sunday mornings in my hometown that I grew up in, I'm down there every Sunday morning at 10:30 at the Doubletree Hotel. We're trying to build a physical location for Epic as well as this digital online outreach. So I'm really focused on that right there. And people can find out more about us at Epic, FC, like E-P-I-C, F is in Frank, C is in Charlie, .org. And I'd love for people to come there and find out more. Or they can just go to our Facebook page, Epic Fellowship Church.
Okay.
And then they'll find out a lot. But that's what I'm about right now, kind of really singular and locked into that. And then, of course, the things that me and my lady do on her behalf, my behalf, because I'm a financial professional. I got Frank Henderson Financial. I do that. That's how I make tents, is how I feed myself and my family. So it's like I look back at if you think about it, I just try to be singular in my purpose right now. And a lot of things that I was doing, I'm having to kind of let go because God is saying, hey, this is the last plant you're going to do. You're going to be in your hometown. Your life has come full circle. Focus on that and build that. And that's what I've been doing.
Awesome. That is awesome. Now, you mentioned something about you and your lady. You all do something. I know that you all do.
We have
a ministry on Facebook. And it's Frank and Yolanda, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And
right.
For those who are not familiar with it, just check it out. You go to Frank and Yolanda on their Facebook page. And awesome ministry. For those who are married, those who are single, you know, those thinking about getting married, it is nuggets of wisdom. And I'm not saying it just to say it. I'm saying it because I know it to be true. And when I say that it's really real and direct, it really is real. And that's with all sincerity. And I'm just excited for you, Pastor Frank, and what you all are doing. I'm very familiar with Rocky Mount because my shirt says St. Augustine's College. That's where I started my college career, in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I have quite a few friends from Rocky Mount. And so next time I come to Raleigh, I'm definitely going to make it a point to come and check y'all out. I'm excited about that.
We got to carve out a space for you to share with us.
I'm going to let you know I'm coming. I'm going to come unexpectedly.
Well, you better be ready because you ain't coming all this way.
When y'all ask for visitors, I'll be the first one to say it. Like, I'm Sachina Kershaw. You know how they do back in the old school, all visitors, please stand, announce yourself.
And boom,
but
there you go.
Next time I come into town, I'll definitely have me and my family and some of my St. Aug friends, you know, to come and check you all out. And I'll definitely encourage my St. Augs, you know, who are out there in the Rocky Mount area and the surrounding areas.
Thank
so
you.
Definitely come and check you all out because I believe in your ministry. And anything I believe in, I have a passion for, and I like to lift up as much as I possibly can within my power. So we also have Epic Fellowship Shirt. Church, www.epicfc.org, and then you can go on their Facebook page with www.facebook.com/Frank and Yolanda. When I tell you, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed because I do not put my name on things I don't believe in. So I believe in this, and I believe in what you all are doing. I just want to tell you, my brother, I appreciate you very much. I appreciate your humbleness. I appreciate your truthfulness. And I appreciate you, your transparency, because it does speak volumes. I'm sending prayers and blessings to you and your lady, first lady-to-be. I'm really excited for you all. And I'm definitely excited about the ministry where God has led you. He took you like full circle and brought you right back to where it all started from. So I know this is your last church you're planting, and what a way to do that back in full circle into your home. So I want to thank you all for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favored Woman. As you all know, we have our own Facebook page, so I will be now doing my lives on this page only. I will not be doing it on my personal page any longer. I want to thank Pastor Frank for coming in and hanging out with me, and I'm looking forward to what the future has in store for you and Dr. Yolanda and us as a general. But, you know, this is the best is yet to come. It really is.
Yes, ma'am.
Like I said before, you will see me next Sunday. We'll be talking about Lupus Awareness Month. My guest will be Ms. Dorissa, because we both have something in common. We've been diagnosed with lupus. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night.
Good night.